Welcome, everybody, to another mini-sode here at Capes and Scowls. We have Leander here, and we have Lou here.
What up?
And with us, still, is Ryan Young.
Now and forever.
Now and forever. Mm-hmm. He's officially not a part of this podcast, but one day he will be. Because we're just like, hey, you want to come by? He's like, yeah, I can come by, not a problem. Ryan, why don't you plug your stuff now? Plug stuff. Go.
I have a podcast. It's called Ryan Hates Movies. It's about movies.
And how much you hate them?
And how much I hate them. It's on iTunes and the internet. And
where?
At RyanHatesMovies.com. That website again? RyanHatesMovies.com. Well, I've had Tim and Leander on. Mm-hmm. The podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you like these guys,
which we know you don't,
maybe you'll like them more in my setting. You know,
maybe that maybe. That would be a yeah. I don't want to know though. Yeah. I don't want to know that they like us better not doing this.
I like those guys just when they talk about comics. It's
so they're so bad at it. All right, well that's fair. So let's talk some stuff. Does anybody want to go first?
I think the guy with the most biggest the stack of biggest books should go first. Because maybe if you take a few of them,
I think so.
He with the biggest stack. That's Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
He with the biggest stack of books. I'll read first.
So you're saying I should go first?
I'm just saying so I can see your face because you're like hiding under a mountain of books.
Oh, gotcha. All right. I guess I'll go first.
Sure.
Ravine, Volume 1 and 2, by Stephen Sajak and Ron Mars. Mm. Let me just start by saying, I want to have Stephen Sajak's baby. If I could make that happen, that would be awesome. Even if I can't.
You should follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, if you told him that on Twitter, could happen.
It could happen. All right. Yeah, well, he has a wife, I think.
You know, that might not be forever.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't mean anything.
That's what you always say. I'm starting to think you're trying to do some subliminal messaging. You know, wife doesn't mean anything. Hey, you want to get a beer?
I'm going to go home and tell my wife that. You don't mean anything.
Dude, you'll have so much more time to podcast. That'd be awesome. You'll be a regular member.
Yeah. Pay the toll, Ryan.
The man of a million voices today, Lou. Go ahead. All right. Ravine.
Ravine is an epic fantasy adventure comic. If you like D&D, Pathfinder, whatever, this takes it to a whole new level. Like, your mind will be blown away by this. So that gives you an epic lore in the very beginning. It talks about these, so basically dragons are part of this world. And dragons imbue humans with power, sometimes, sometimes not, right? And so whenever there's an epic battle going on, though, the dragons tend to come help out and impart power. And they impart powers in multiple ways. They give you the power to use magic or not, right? They give you the power of these mystical weapons that actually hold, like, I don't know, I can't tell if they're angels or something, but when you grab the weapon, you're given a guide, and that guide tends to be some sort of angelic being. It gives you the power to talk to dragons, and there's one that allows you to turn into a dragon, actually. So you can actually have what's called the true form. So this book starts off with the epic battle from the past, then it goes into the future timeline, where we are now, the present, all the different kingdoms, all the different rulers, the characters, and the idea is that this, there's a lot of things going on. One is that there's this guy called the Wanderer. He's a jokester kind of young adult. He reminds me of Lou a little bit.
He called me young.
And basically what happens is, like, he doesn't want his fate, but he was given the fate, mm-hmm. and he has these weapons, and he has one of those kind of angelic beings inside his two daggers. And it starts with him trying to find a dragon of some sort, right? Then it goes off to this other character who is probably the main character, this female who is an awesome dragon rider. She's like the top notch of the academy, but she doesn't. You find out she's also a princess, but she doesn't ever talk about it. She doesn't want to be a queen.
She's very humble.
She doesn't want to be queen. She wants to live this life of like dragon riding all the time. Well, she ends up accomplishing her tests, and as part of the accomplishment of a test for being a dragon rider, you get to gain one of the gifts of the dragons, right? So it could be one of the things I mentioned before. She could be a magic user. She can get the weapons. She can do all those things. She can turn into a dragon, maybe. Well, there's this tree that has a ton of weapons in them. At the very top of that tree is like these, the Wanderer's weapons, like where you get the angelic people, right? And the master's like, even if you guys got up there, you likely won't be able to do anything with it because you have to be chosen to use the weapons. She gets up there. She grabs the one of the first weapons. She's like pulling it as best she can. She can't pull it out. She's like, I can't. I'm not worthy. And she does it like almost half for like half a day. And she gets so tired. She leans on like the spear next to it, falls off because the spear moved, and she's fallen off the cliff. And the spear, she grabs the spear. The angel comes down and saves her. And she says, name your weapon. She names it. And then she gets the angel wings for a second. And then she passes out. So there's epic things are happening. And then the story kind of... I haven't read volume one and two. I finished just one. But one ended with her, the new person with the spear, finding the other wanderer at the same time. And she has the intent of killing the other guy. But she doesn't know that the other guy also has angelic weapons. She's just about to kill him.
How many volumes is it so far?
I don't know for sure. I assume maybe just two.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. So. I'm not giving it justice. It is so good. It is deep. It is so deep.
So in one volume that you've read, they set up that much?
They set up that much.
That's kind of crazy.
And it's awesome. And my favorite part of it is at the back of the book, they give you a breakdown of the entire lore. They give you a breakdown of each of the characters. They give you a glossary in case you wanted to figure out what the words mean. They give you all the different kingdoms. They give you a map of the world. It's epic.
That is the kind of stuff I never read.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy about that, that it's there.
Yeah.
But that's
look at the freaking art on this.
No, I'm looking at this art. Fantastic. This art is amazing. And there is a lot of small print.
Yes, but it's not though. Like it really isn't.
No, I mean like for the back, like the glossary.
Oh, for the back, for
like,
the gloss.
That's kind of the stuff.
That's
because
just added.
Another book.
Oh,
that
you mean
did
you
that...
don't read this stuff?
Yeah, another.
I thought
book...
you mean you wouldn't read a book like
this.
No.
I definitely would. Another book that reminds me of was the Dark Tower series, where they would have like a really piss poor story, and then they would have like 9 pages of like really like ad hoc, you know, faux fantasy background that was also really bad. Maybe that's tinting my experience with comics that have a 9-page glossary of the world in the back of it, but this seems like
I will say that I normally wouldn't read that sort of stuff, but I'm telling you, when you finish the first volume, you're going to want to read every single word of that back glossary.
I mean, it definitely seems like it is geared, because like D&D guys love glossaries.
They're all about reading too.
But it actually is light reading, and I finished all the volumes. As soon as I picked it up, I finished the entire volume. I didn't put it down until I finished
including
it.
Including the glossary?
Not the glossary. That's all too much. Right,
all right. Just skim the glossary.
Well, skim the glossary, yeah.
It actually makes sense because Steven Sajic and Ron Mars both write it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both high-caliber writers, so Sajic doing double duty, so...
Yeah, but the art is out of this world.
You
I
need
love,
to relax.
I love, love,
do you need
love.
Water?
No, I need a lot of stuff.
He's allowed to love it.
I normally, you guys know I don't like artists.
I hate art. I hate comics and the art form in general.
I have never wanted to follow someone so badly. Steven Sajic is the most amazing guy I've ever had a chance to know.
So if you're listening, Steven Sajic, we're definitely interested in you meeting Leander.
Yeah, his address is...
Yeah. Come meet Leander. He's not as creepy as he sounds on this podcast.
I'm looking at this book. I'm with Leander on this one. As a fan of epic heavy metal art, this is some
so
good stuff.
It is so good.
Did you find the next council?
I did. Look at this.
There?
There's like a crescent moon with
that's
eyes
a god.
Coming out
that's
of
a
it.
God.
Like,
eye council?
Eye council. Because it's eyeballs.
Anyways, it's really good. I will tell you that if you're trying to understand what the main goal of this is, There are creatures called wyverns, which are not dragons. Isn't it awesome? I told you.
That is nice.
Unless that's nice a cat lady under that hood.
It's not.
All right,
it's not,
awesome.
It's just epic lady.
It's like a deer lady or something.
So the idea, so let me tell you the idea of this, what's going on here. The person that you saw in the very beginning of the book, the master evil of everything that's destroying the world, is back in the real world. He's also raising wyverns, and wyverns, so let me rephrase, dragons can shed their skin and get stronger. They shed, get stronger. Wyverns can never do that, right? There are now wyverns that can do that, they're just as strong now, which is a problem because wyverns are way faster and more ferocious than dragons, but they're not as strong, right? But now that wyverns are getting as strong, they're kicking dragons' asses everywhere. So, dragons are dying, epic villain is back, how are we gonna, and we're talking about god-level stuff. This is all god-level stuff, so it's pretty epic.
Oh, sounds good.
Mm-hmm. So that's my first of 10.
Excellent.
All right.
Good. Very good. Do you want to go? You want me to go?
No, you know what? I'll go because I want to take it down a notch. Actually, yeah. I want to take it down a whole bunch of notches.
I got to calm down.
Yeah, you're going to need a minute.
High fantasy, you know, epic story. And what I have is Joe Frankenstein.
Oh, you did Joe Frankenstein!
Number one.
Yes!
Now, this is one of the picks that I often pick when I go to the comic book store right before this podcast to read.
North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey.
Okay, so...
Hold on, before you say anything about Joe Frankenstein, I have to tell you one thing.
Okay.
We did not order Joe Frankenstein.
Okay, so this was a mistake order.
Yes.
That... but it was the only number one I saw on the shelf, so I said, okay. I gotta go with a number one.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta let the people know what's coming out.
Yep.
What's hot and fresh, and this is neither. Joe Frankenstein. This
it's
book.
Hot, fresh something.
This book. This book is a wasted opportunity to be way funnier. Like, what I really want is for there just to be no speech bubbles and me to fill them in myself with what I think they should be saying. Because it starts out a la Futurama with a hapless pizza delivery guy who wanders into a house full of sexy vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the book doesn't take itself seriously.
Okay.
But it doesn't take itself... It's not funny enough to be good. Like, it should be, like, making jokes all over the place. But no, it's just, like, a stupid book that knows it's stupid without being funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the guy, Joe, he comes in, he delivers this pizza, and the vampire chicks try to kill him. Mm-hmm. But, like, a guy saves him. Oh, who's this guy? He's in a hood. Like, it's fucking Frankenstein. And, like, Frankenstein's, like, monster. Like, he's just fighting the vampires. And the part I don't get is he takes a piece of pizza and he slaps the one vampire with it. And it burns her skin.
Garlic.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, is this book too deep for me?
So, what you're saying is that this is actually an amazing piece of art that you just don't get.
Yeah, this might just be above my intelligence level. The garlic. Yeah, okay, well, that solves that mystery. Now for the mystery of who signed off on this bullshit.
And you're Italian. That's the most disturbing part of the film.
Well, maybe it is Mario.
Mario.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I don't even really know what to say. So it turns out that the guy, the kid... He's Joe Frankenstein, the descendant of, I guess, the original OG Frankenstein from back in the day.
The OG.
And the monster has been protecting the family line of Frankenstein since that time. But the monster's got, like a cell phone.
Sure.
So he can Skype the kid and, like... And he, like, picks him up at a limo, and he's, like, smoking a cigar and wearing, like, a tech vest
so that's
from,
the same,
like, 2000.
That's the same Frankenstein from when...
Yeah, this is Frankenstein's monster. So he's just been, like, you know,
he's been alive for a long time.
He's been alive for a long time. Yeah. He's been protecting them. He's got a limo service.
Right. He's evolved.
Yeah.
Into a douchebag.
Yeah, he's
a no, he's a total douchebag. Like, look at him. He's got like sunglasses on inside the car.
Right, right.
Classic. You know, he's wearing like an Aeropostale vest with a fucking half-lit cigar. And
I mean, the art doesn't look that bad.
Yeah, it actually doesn't look so bad. The art.
The art's kind of like Archie, like art. Like, if this was an Archie book, I would get it. So
Archie meets Joe Frankenstein.
Yeah, so I mean, like, there's some kind of plot, but like, really, whatever. How does it end? Fuck.
What's the next issue?
Do you really care?
What's the cliffhanger?
Okay, I'll tell you. The cliffhanger is like, there's some like lady who, like, if she finds out he's the descendant of Frankenstein, is gonna get him.
Is she a vampire?
I don't know.
Wait, what's the, I saw the, let me see the very last, this page.
All right, the last page.
No, not that one, the real last one.
Oh, the very last page.
Yeah.
On which here is it?
Because that looked kind of cool, like he's got those two. Yeah. She must be a vampire, because he's holding stakes.
No, this is, there's the monsters, the vampires, right? Are like, kind of like the grunt squad. They're like, got just it. The, sure. They're the, right, disposable villains that Frankenstein just like, uh-huh, kills en masse.
Yeah.
And then like the important lady, I think, is something more powerful, because, right, she's talking to like some other douchebag guy about like, probably, oh, those vampires are trying to get him, but we're going to really take care of this thing.
So what do you think, Premonition?
Uh-huh.
It's gonna be Dracula.
Like, I don't care. I don't even still want to be talking about this. Like, I could not finish this book fast enough. I'm like, I'm gonna read the whole thing. I'm gonna read the whole thing just to say that I read the whole thing. But I could not turn these pages fast enough to justify my own existence.
Now, what are you gonna do with that book?
Yeah.
Just,
well,
put it back on the shelf.
I had a number of ideas. Some of them, like,
ship it with your Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, I could put it in the box of my Nintendo auction and ship it to some hapless individual. Yeah. I could use it to light candles, or you know, toilet paper. Like, I don't know, guys.
Don't do that to your ass.
IDW
for Joe Frankenstein.
They should have just made it funny. They should have, like, got a funny guy and made it a book
like
full of jokes.
It sounds like a great plot for a funny book.
Yeah, it would have been a great comedy book. But it's just, you know, it's whatever.
Let me call my monster. He got a limo.
Yep. Because he does, but they don't. They act so like dumb. It's supposed to be, like, I don't know, serious. Whatever. I'm done with this.
Fucking terrible. Just fucking terrible. Mm-hmm.
They throw a lot of AC/DC references in there. He's like wearing an AC/DC shirt. He's got an AC/DC poster.
You think that's part of the plot?
Maybe AC/DC is paying him. I don't know.
The higher power, Brian Johnson.
Malcolm Young is a Nosferatu.
It's gotta be. All right. Well, we're done with that.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Sad book.
That's enough.
Well, I sincerely appreciate you actually buying, paying money for that. I appreciate it.
Won't make that mistake again.
Well, they're not going to get issue two. They didn't even want issue one.
Ryan, you said you read a book. What'd you read?
I read All New X-Men numero 38.
Okay.
Not 37.
No.
That hasn't come out yet.
Correct.
That comes out after 39.
I'm glad you told me about this.
What?
Because I had somebody bitching that it wasn't in their bin. I'm like, hold on now. Now follow me through this, because it isn't out, because it spoils something, so it's on hold.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing a...
What?
And because of Black Vortex and everything, so it goes 36, 38, 39, 37.
Wow.
So anyway, it is part of Black Vortex, which is like one of the Marvel mini events, and it's a team up between the X-Men and the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
And it is a great big pile of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Black Vortex is like this mirror thing, a cosmic mirror, and when you look into it, it makes you cosmic powered and kind of a dick.
Mm. We just had an event where everybody was a dick.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's feeling very like accessy in that way, because right now Angel, Beast, and Gamora have all been like, let's look into the Black Mirror, you know, and then now they're cosmically powered versions of themselves.
Oh my God.
And there doesn't seem to be, I don't know what's going on. The Black Mirror's, Ronan just stole the Black Mirror.
Sure.
Of course.
They're just cosmically powered douchebags.
Is he going to become cosmically good?
But there's that's it. So what's his name? Chris Pratt.
Star-Lord.
Star-Lord. Star-Lord's dad is the one who finds the Black Mirror, and then Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord steal the Black Mirror off of his dad, and they're like, what are we going to do with this? This is a bad thing, like, you know, whatever. And then they look into the mirror, and they see themselves all, like, super-power-ly. They all have superpowers, but extra super-powered. And that's kind of the plot. And now Beast and Angel and Gamora are just being dicks. They're, you know, like, oh, does a human consider an ant's feelings when they, you know, God. Like that kind of like, you know, nonsense.
No. You know what I gotta say? The plot itself doesn't sound terrible. It seems like it could go cool places. I was always kind of a sucker for, like, you know, cosmic storylines and stuff.
But that, isn't that, like, yeah, the every, like, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet, and, like, that's always the thing, like, you know, somebody cosmic Spider-Man and whatever, and...
Wait, Spider-Man's, like, never cosmic. Spider-Man's and always like, what are you doing here, Spider-Man?
There was a cosmic he Spider-Man.
There was a cosmic Spider-Man, yeah. He was dumb.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It's already 4 issues in... And it's basically, at one point, there's literally a scene of Beast and Gamora and Angel, and they're all, like, just, like, floating, like, having a lame conversation while, like, while Gamora holds the Black Mirror.
Is it like, where the writer tries to pretend to understand what, like, a being of infinite, like, intelligence and wisdom might talk about?
Yes, yes.
In between the time when we see the rest of the heroes.
Right. And, like, basically, Angel wants to use the Black Mirror to, like, make other people super strong, too. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to do it, because obviously it's... Or the Black Vortex. I keep calling it Black Mirror, but because it looks like a mirror. But, like, obviously, the Black Vortex does not sound like a good thing.
No.
Like, they're like, hey, sign up for the Black Vortex. It's fine.
Wait. It's no bad can come
no,
of this.
Yeah, no. So he's just like, let me have the Black Vortex, and I'll... get all the heroes, the whatever. Like, Beast, you're busy ascending to another plane of consciousness. Gamora, I know you want to kill Thanos. Like, you should go do that now that you're super cosmically powered. Let me hand... And now, like, they're, like, suspicious of each other. And then that's when Ronan shows up and steals it.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's just really, like... And the only reason why I'm reading it is because I read all new X-Men, so they sucker you in. Now I have to buy all the Guardians of the Galaxy, all 7.
Don't do it.
I mean, what am I going to do? I guess I could have just waited since 37 doesn't come out for 2 months or whatever. Could have just skipped over those books.
I think Joe Frankenstein should become cosmic.
Yeah, maybe Angel will let him look into the, Black mirror. Vortex. Yeah. So, not good. You can read it, Lou, when the trade comes out or whatever, but it's not that great.
No, I won't read it then.
He's going to get Joe Frankenstein trade.
You have your choice.
Volume 1. All right, well, I got something cool to review. It's a board game.
What?
It's a card game. Dia Monsters, which is by IDW Games, the same company that does the comic books.
They made my X-Files game, too.
They did. They're very into board games, and it's pretty good, actually. It's the same people who did the art and created Machi Koro, which is another fun, kind of a deck-building style game.
Sure,
you're building a town.
Mm-hmm.
This one, there's 5 different cards, and you are trying... There are monsters on the cards. You're trying to... get 3 of the same monster, and there's also diamonds on the bottom of the cards. You're trying to get 5 diamonds. You win the round. You get first person to X diamonds, depending on how many people are playing. You win the game. It sounds so simple. It's not. There's a lot of strategy. You got to figure what everybody's playing. One of the lowest cards defeats the biggest monster. Things like that. It is very fun. I played it with 3 people. I would imagine it's kind of boring with 2. You can play up to 6. It is a very fun game, probably, for 6 people.
Let's play around right now.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. And you're going to listen to us play this game.
Yeah,
let's just play it and then time lapse.
I won!
Yeah! Guys, that was really fun!
So cool.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, man. So, if you enjoy... weird little card games. This one's only $15. It's not that bad. It's pretty fun. I enjoyed it. And I played it with some asshole people that usually try to ruin games. So, and it worked out great. So it's a pretty fun game. I recommend it. If you enjoyed Machikaro, you'll probably like it. It's the same people. It has a different feel, but it is definitely some strategy to such a basic game. And since this minisode's going on 25 minutes now, I think we're going to cut it and do another minisode.
Alrighty.
All right. So thank you for listening. Check us out at all the usual places. Ryan Young is waving to you. Goodbye.